Going to the book of Mark. To the book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 35 to verse 41. The book of Mark to the fourth chapter, verse 35. And the same day, when the even was come, he said unto them, that is his disciples, let us pass over unto the other side. Everybody say, let us pass over unto the other side. If he said it, he's going to get you there. No matter what gets in the way, if he said it, he's going to get you there. Amen. Praise God. He brought us out. Take us in. So folks, if we'll stick with him, we're going to make it to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they wake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Amen. Hallelujah. I want to talk tonight about prevailing prayer. Amen. Everybody say, prayer works. If you believe that. Anybody tried it and it worked for you? Hallelujah. Amen. I'll never forget an article I read years ago. A lady wrote an article to the paper and editorial and said, I'll never pray again. Said, I prayed and God did not answer my prayer. Yes, he did. She just didn't like the answer. Amen. God always answers prayer. Amen. Praise God. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Amen. If you pray with the wrong motive and you pray for the wrong thing, God says no. If you are in a hurry and God sees that you need to slow down and wait a little bit and learn some patience, God says slow. If God sees you're not big enough to handle what you're praying for and you need to grow into something, God says, grow. Amen. And if everything's right, your motive's right, and everything else is right, then God says, go. So God always answers prayer. He just doesn't always answer the prayer like we want him to. Amen. And one of the great lessons of prayer is learning that God is sovereign. That God is sovereign. Amen. I have no patience with people that think faith is like a slot machine. You insert a little prayer and you pull on a handle and the answer's supposed to come out. Amen. And somehow, supposedly, if you have enough faith, you can manipulate God and he has to do what you tell him to do. Let me tell you something tonight. It doesn't matter how much faith you have, you don't order God around and you don't tell God what to do. Amen. Somebody said God is bound by his word. He's got to do what he said. Yes, he does. in His way and in His time. Amen. Praise God. Yes, God will keep His word. No, God will not violate His promise or His word. But you do not manipulate Him. God is not some kind of a celestial sugar daddy that you can boss around. Amen. Praise God. One of the great lessons of prayer is humility. Amen. We learn to put things in perspective, who we are and who He is. Amen. And when we begin to learn those things, great things can happen. You and I are aware of one thing tonight. Christians are not immune to trouble. As a matter of fact, the Bible said in the book of Peter that the same things that happen in the world happen to you. They come upon the brethren. Amen. You're not immune from those things. We're not immune from sickness. We're not immune from death. We're not immune from problems and difficulties and pressures, and all of the things that happen there happen to the church. Then you say, well, what good is it being a Christian? I'll tell you what the good is. You've got somebody on your side that has answers. Hallelujah. You have somebody with you that can give you a peace that passes your understanding. You have somebody that can give you a song in the middle of the night. Hallelujah. When your back is broken and bleeding from the beating of people that did not understand you. But Paul and Simon began to sing at midnight. Hallelujah. And the Lord of heaven answered their prayers. The old preacher said, when God heard Paul and Silas singing, He turned to His angel and said, you hear that? That's my boys, and they're down there singing to me. And God began to pat His foot in time with the music. Amen. And the Bible said, the earth is His, the heaven is His throne, and the earth is His footstool. And I think He started patting His foot just about Philippi. Hallelujah. And the gates swung open. Amen. And their chains fell off. And God delivered them. And they came out of that prison. I'm telling you, friend, you're going to have some troubles in this world. Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus have any troubles? Are we greater than our Master? Are we greater than our Savior? You're going to have some difficulties. Amen. He never intended this world to be our final resting place. We're on our way somewhere better. You're going to have some problems here. The Bible says that they got in the ship and the Lord said, let's go to the other side. And then the Bible said that a great storm arose. The wind was howling. And the waves were rising and crashing. And they began to fill the boat into the place that they became so fearful. They thought that any time the boat was going to sink and go under. Now, just a few hours previous, they had been in one of the greatest services they'd ever been in. Jesus was teaching the mighty word of God. And He gave them private instruction. Oh, how wonderful that must have been. But here they are now. And it's a different situation. Amen. And the storms are howling and the storm is rising. And the Bible said they were fearful. Amen. Well, I've been afraid a few times in my life. I'm not here to criticize anybody. I'm not here to belittle anybody. I'm like the fellow that was laying in the bed and he was so sick, and the preacher came in all full of faith and he said, brother, he said, renounce the devil. And the brother said, brother, I ain't in no condition to antagonize anybody. You ever been in that situation? That's about as low as you can get. You're going to have to do it for me right now. Amen. You're going to have to do a little praying for me, a little worship for me, a little believing, because I'm in a low condition. Amen. That's why it's important to be a part of a body, folks. And that's why it's important to give it everything you got every time you get here. Amen. Because there may be times somebody sitting beside you just barely got here. Amen. Praise God. And so they're going to need somebody else to help lift them up. Hallelujah. Praise God. We used to talk about praying the glory down. Do we still do that? Hallelujah. Does that still happen in Pentecostal churches? Can we still do that? Amen. Can we still bring down the presence of the Lord with our worship and with our praise? I certainly think so. Amen. Hallelujah. But in the time of the storm, you got to remember you're not alone. Jesus was on board. I believe I read somewhere he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I am with you. Now, that doesn't just mean that he stays with you on the ground. He'll get on the airplane with you too. I've heard some folks say that, you know, that doesn't apply to airplanes. Well, it does. Amen. Believe me, it does. Amen. Because I've called on him a few times up there and he helped me. Amen. And it gets a little scary. We were flying in Colombia and we were making a turn going into an airport, and I have never been in an airplane like that in my life. And it just suddenly dropped straight down like that. And my stomach stayed up there. And my head slammed, you know where your luggage is up there? My head slammed into that thing. And I was praying about that minute. Amen. And I was in, Lord, get us back on the ground here. Amen. So I learned that he's not just low, but he's also high. And he'll go with you wherever you go. Amen. He was on board. The Bible said he was sleeping in the middle of the storm. He was so frightened. He was so worried. Amen. You know why Jesus wasn't worried? Because he said, we're going to the other side. Amen. Praise God. And if you can just learn to take his word and trust it and believe in it. Amen. And relax and say, all right, Jesus said it. It's his job. He's going to do it. Amen. I don't have to figure out how. And if I go through some difficulties to get there, it doesn't negate the word of God. He's still going to do exactly what he said he's going to do. Amen. Praise God. So they came back, and the way they woke him up, and they said, Master, don't you care that we perish? What a question. Peter later answered that question very well when he said, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. He learned the lesson well, didn't he? He learned that Jesus really does care. I'm telling you tonight, if you're in a storm, he really does care. And you can cast your cares upon him. He will care for you. He will take care of you. He will provide for you. And the Bible said that he woke up and he stood up and he faced the wind and he lifted up his voice and he said, peace! Be still! That wind heard the voice that had spoken into existence. The one that caused the currents to begin to flow. Heard the voice one more time, and they recognized that voice. And they just all of a sudden lay down at his feet like a sleeping puppy dog. Amen. And the wind went away, and the waves became calm. Hallelujah. Amen. He can still do that. I read some time ago about some people that were commissioned to paint a picture of peace. So they tried all kinds of things. Somebody painted peace signs. Somebody else painted all these tranquil scenes. But the one that won the show was one that painted a picture of some eaglets high in a cliff. And there on the crag of a rocky cliff, there was a nest, and there was a mother watching over her eaglets in the nest. And there was lightnings in the heavens, and the rain was slashing down, and the thunder was reverberating against the rocks. But in the middle of the storm, there was peace. That's what peace is, folks. Peace is not the absence of trouble. It's not the absence of problems. Peace is when you have trouble, but you have peace that's that it's going to be all right. God's going to take care of the situation. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so peace was there at the sound of his voice. Amen. What makes prayer prevail? How does prayer prevail? What is the anatomy of an answered prayer? Let's look at a few things that the Bible teaches that are very important in prayer. One is to be sincere when you pray. Mean it when you pray. Don't pray for trivial things. And don't pray just to be heard. That's what the Bible said about the Pharisees, wasn't it? He said, pray not as the Pharisees. They just prayed to be heard. Amen. Somebody referred to a prayer that was prayed at a function in an eastern city. They said it was the finest prayer that had ever been offered to a congregation at Boston. Well, that's who he prayed to, the people. Amen. But there's a prayer that is a prayer that is heard on high. It's got to be a sincere prayer, first of all. Amen. And the Bible said that not just with repetitions. Amen. That's why we don't pray a rosary around here. Amen. You just get sincere with God. You can speak to the Lord in your own way. And He hears and He answers and He understands you. Prayer is in all kinds of ways. Some people pray and they pray beautifully. They pray poetically. And that's all right if that's their real manner of prayer. There are other people that pray and their prayers are very simple. But it doesn't matter, folks, as long as you're sincere and you mean what you're saying to God. And God knows whether we're sincere or not. God knows whether we're sincere or not. I remember one young man went to the prayer room. He didn't know how to pray. He just got in the church. He hadn't been in the church very long. And he was trying to learn how to pray. So he made his way over by an old prayer warrior. And that prayer warrior was, he was at the throne. He'd been there before. He knew how to pray. And he was praying. And the young man was right beside saying, "Ditto, Lord, me too. Ditto, Lord, me too. Ditto, Lord, me too." Hallelujah. Let me encourage you prayer warriors tonight. Get in that prayer room and lift up your voice because there's some young people that need to know how to pray. There's some young men and some young women and some boys and some girls that are coming on behind you and they need to hear your voice and they need to know how to pray. Amen. And they're going to learn how to pray hearing you pray. So you see, there's sincerity that's got to be in prayer. Amen. The Bible teaches us that we have to pray with the right motive. Amen. It's important that you pray with the right motive. I heard about a man, this shocked me, they say it really happened, that there was a man that fasted 40 days and prayed that God would do something bad to one of his brothers because he had a grudge against him. You talk about a wasted fast. You talk about wasted prayer. Man, he should have been eaten. Amen. That was wasted. You're going to pray, folks, with the right motive. Amen. You remember Jesus told us the example of two men that went to pray. He said one of them was a Pharisee. And he prayed thus. I love the way Jesus said it. Said he prayed thus with himself. He wasn't praying to God. He was praying to him and anybody else wanted to listen. Because God sure wasn't listening. And he said, "Oh, Father, I thank thee that I pay tithes." And good thing he did. "I give offerings." Good thing he did. Amen. "And I fast. And I pray every day. And I thank you because I'm not like this old miserable sinner. This publican over here." Not Republican. Publican over here. Amen. And Jesus said that the publican, I'm sorry. That guy, right? He felt so lowly that he wouldn't even lift up his eyes. And he said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's, you see, his motive was right. Which one, Jesus said, which one do you suppose God answered? Which one had the right motive? Amen. Praise God. James said it like this in the 4th chapter, in the 2nd verse. And the third verse, James said, "Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not." Now let me remind you, he's writing to the church. Huh? I said he's writing to the church. He's writing to his brothers and sisters. Did you get that? Let's read that again. That sounds pretty tough. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. And then the third verse, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. He's writing to the church here, folks. Boy, aren't you glad you're not a part of that church? That's all right. It's okay to smile. Amen. Don't get by too serious. You'll really get me worried. Amen. And so he's saying to the church, he said to you, one thing that we have not because we ask not, or because we ask for the wrong motive. When you pray for this church to grow, why do you want this church to grow? What's your motive? When you pray that God will bless you financially, and that's a good prayer, but why do you want to be blessed financially? What's the purpose of it? You see, whatever your prayer is, whatever you're asking God for, why are you asking Him? What's your motive when you pray? One of the first prayers that you need to pray is, "God, help my motives to be right."
Yes, sir, you're right.
Help my motives to be right. God, help me to ask for this for the right reason. Amen. I don't want to just pray for something that will just bless me or make me something or make me to appear to be something or somebody. But help me to pray sincerely with the right reason, the right motive. So you see, your motive has to be right when you pray. That's important for a prayer to be answered. God doesn't answer some prayers the way we pray them because our motive's not right. I've always thought it was kind of, you know, they pray before ball games. Well, who's God going to hear? You know. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, well, it's good to pray for protection. Good to pray for certain things, as long as their motive's right. But, amen, what was it? Somebody was telling me the other day that one team had scriptures written under their eyelids. Thought that might help. Amen. And so, sure enough, they lost. So I guess that wasn't the answer. So you know, but your motive's got to be right when you pray, folks. It's important we have the right motive. And then it's important not only we have the right motive, but it's important that we have faith when we pray. Amen. What is it? The Bible said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith. Amen. When you pray, believe that God hears you. Amen. Praise God. You see, now you're sincere and you've got your motives right. And when your motive's right and you're sincere in what you're asking for, you see, and you're asking for the right thing, then you just go ahead and believe that God's going to do it. Amen. Just believe, have faith that He's going to do it. Amen. Praise God. It's important then that we believe God. The Bible said, if we don't believe, James said it in the first chapter. He said, a double-minded man, a person that doubts. Amen. He's not going to receive anything because he can't make up his mind. I read about a man fighting in the Civil War. He didn't know which side he wanted to be on. He had sympathies with the North and sympathies with the South. So he went and got one of those blue shirts and put it on. And he went and got some gray breeches and put him on. And he got fired at from both sides because nobody knew what he stood for. Amen. Hey, folks, you got to stand for something. Make up your mind. Make up your mind which side you're on. Some people don't know whether they want to live for God or not. Amen. So they're miserable trying to serve God. Amen. And yet they're miserable because they're not serving God. Go ahead and just plunge in. Make up your mind today. Give it all you got. Make up your mind. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. When your mind gets made up, folks, it makes all the difference in the world. Amen. And so you got to have faith when you pray. Amen. Faith, first of all, you got a faith that he have faith he can do it. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Amen. That's what the Lord replied when Abraham was 100 years old, or 99. And the Lord came and visited and said, Abraham, you're going to have a son anytime now. Amen. And Abraham, now we talk about Sarah laughing, but you know Abraham laughed too. Now his might be a laugh of joy. I don't know. I'm not trying to judge anybody here because I don't know what wasn't there. But he laughed, and the angel said, is anything too hard for the Lord? Anything? I believe not. And when Sarah heard about it, 89 years old, amen, and said, you're going to have a son, Sarah. And she laughed. And then she denied that she laughed. And that's when she got in trouble. Oh, yeah, you did too, I heard you. Amen. And but sure enough, it all came to pass. You see, but what God can do anything. I remember the man in the scripture, his son was a demoniac, and when he would get close to water, he would try to drown himself. He got close to fire, he'd try to burn himself. He had a spirit of suicide. He was trying to kill himself. And you can imagine the trauma that went through that father's heart constantly. He had to watch that boy. He could never be left alone for 1 minute. They had to constantly put a guard on him. They couldn't sleep at night for worrying about what he was going to do if he'd be awake and alive in the morning, because he kept trying to destroy himself. And he came and he said, Lord, I brought him to your disciples and they couldn't help me. He said, but if you can, would you do something for him? Amen. Let me tell you something. He can. And he did. And he did. Hallelujah. He spoke. The spirit came out. Amen. The young man was delivered. Praise God. The young man was saved. Praise God. I'm telling you tonight, he can do anything. He can do anything. Hallelujah. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Nothing is too hard for God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Boy, we could really get into telling you how God can, because he can. Amen. Praise God. Can God help you financially? He can and he will if your motive's right. If your motive's right. Amen. Anybody ever just happen to find some money when you really needed it? Amen. Don't be like the fellow that was falling off the roof, and on the way down he said, oh God, if you'll just save me and let me not fall off of this roof and hurt myself, I'll give you everything I've got. And about that time, sure enough, his britches snagged on a nail and he stopped and he said, God, forget that prayer, I found a nail. Huh? No, sir. Amen. It's too late to back out now. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And so God has a way, folks, of taking care of us. So he can do anything. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. And then you've got to believe that God will. You see, you can't only believe God that can, but you've got to believe that he's willing to do it. You remember the leper that came and he said, if you will, you can make me clean. He had no doubt about God's ability. He just doubted if he cared enough. You see, he was a leper. He hadn't felt a loving touch of a human hand in I don't know how many years. I don't know how long it had been. He was an outcast. He lived only with other lepers. He couldn't come to church. He couldn't be part of the fellowship. So he was a lonely man. And perhaps he had been made fun of. And people said unclean every time they saw him. And he had no self-esteem. And so he said, God, if you will, you can make me clean. Jesus said, I will. And he touched him. Hallelujah. And he touched him. Praise the Lord. And the Bible said he was made whole. Hallelujah. So God can and God will. Brother Grissom, how can I have faith? Let me tell you how to increase your faith. The Bible said faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. You read this book. You read this book. You read it with believing. You read it with faith. You read it with sincerity. You read it with spiritual hunger. You let the Lord talk to you. Amen. You come to church and the Word of God will feed you. Sermons will feed you. Testimonies will feed you. Songs will feed you. And your faith will gradually become stronger. Faith is like a muscle. The more you exercise it, the stronger it becomes. Amen. Somebody said faith is like film. It's developed in the dark. That may be true. Amen. You see, you have to have some troubles in order to perfect your faith. You have to go through some things in order to perfect your faith. You don't realize tonight how much stronger you are than when you started this journey. Because it's been a gradual process. Every day you've gained a little bit of faith. Every day you're a little bit stronger than you were yesterday. Amen. It's a progressive and it's residual, but your faith is strengthened day by day. Hallelujah. Amen. And so you exercise your faith. Another condition for answered prayer is to be obedient. Is that right? Amen. Praise God. You're like the guy that fell off of the cliff and grabbed a hold of a limb on the way down. He said, Lord, he said, please, he said, get me out of this mess. The Lord said, I will, just let go. Amen. Now there's the sticky part right there. And he said, anybody else up there? Amen. That wasn't what he wanted to hear. But that's obedience. Just let go. Amen. What was it that Mary told the servants at the wedding of Cana? Whatever he says to do, do it. Whatever he says to do, just do it. Doesn't have to make sense. Doesn't have to even be logical or reasonable. Whatever God says, just do it. Just do it. Amen. I heard of a preacher that was traveling across the country. He stopped and the Lord spoke to him out in the middle of nowhere. God said, stop the car. He stopped and he got out. And the Lord said, preach. And he got out and he said, preach on salvation. Preach on Acts 2:38. And he got out and he started preaching. He said, preach on hope. And he preached. And there wasn't anybody to hear but jackrabbits and coyotes. He felt a little foolish. But he obeyed what the Lord said. And after some time later passed, and a man came up to him after service and said, do you remember when you were driving on such and such a road out in the middle of nowhere and you started preaching? And he said, oh, yeah, I sure remember that. He said, you didn't see me. I was in the culvert underneath the highway. And he said, I was under there contemplating suicide. But when I heard your message, it gave me hope. And I found a church that preached what you preach. And God saved me. And that's why I'm here today. You see, you never know when the Lord says do something. And you just do it. What the outcome is going to be. Amen. That's the value of obedience. We really have not believed until we obey. Praise God. You know, that's what baptism's about, isn't it? Some people say it's works. No, it's not works. It's obedience. The Bible said, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's just simple obedience. It's not works. It's just doing what the Lord said. Amen. Praise God. So obedience is vital. It's important. Amen. So a prevailing prayer has to be a sincere prayer. Have the right motive. Be filled with faith. And we have to be obedient. Prayer takes time. Everybody say time. Well, that's a tough one, isn't it, today? Time. But the most valuable time that we spend is the time we spend in prayer. If the president were to call you and say, you know, I'm going to be coming by your house next week at such and such time, do you think you could be there? And you'd say, well, no, I'm going to be busy that day. Probably not. You'd probably say, oh, yes, sir. I'll rearrange my schedule. I'll be there. It's important because the president's coming to my house. Amen. What an honor that would be. Praise God. But let me tell you something. You have a greater honor than that. You have been invited into the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. You've been invited before the throne of God the Almighty to stand in His presence. Amen. And fellowship with Him. You know what? I think if the president was coming, I'd make some arrangements. I'd make sure things were clean and nice, as good as I could make it. Amen. I'd be on my best behavior. And I'd polish up on everything I could polish up on. And yet, sometimes so carelessly we enter the presence of God. You know, the people that received things from the Lord were people that knew what they wanted. When the Lord asked Bartimaeus, He said, "What do you want?" He said, "I want to see." He didn't say, "Bless me." He didn't say, "Touch me." He said, "I want to see." You see, he had his mind made up. He knew what he wanted. And many times we fail to get what we want because we don't know what we want. Now I understand there are times the Bible said we don't know how to pray as we ought. And so the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings and moanings that cannot be uttered. There are times that you don't know how to pray. You ever been there? And so you just yield to the Holy Ghost and you start speaking in tongues. And that comes groaning and moaning comes out. You don't know what you're praying. You just know you're praying.
Yes, sir. Amen.
But God knows exactly what you need. And the Spirit's making intercession for you. And the answer's on the way.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So prayer involves time. Prayer involves devotion. And prayer involves some toil. Sometimes prayer is just plain old work, folks. Amen. I said sometimes it's a delight and sometimes it's work. Amen. But you just pray on. Pray on. Amen. Pray till you prevail. Prevail over what, Brother Grissom? Sometimes you just got to prevail over yourself. Amen. So, you know, sometimes we pray for God to change a situation and the situation's all right. God needs to change us. God needs to change our attitude and our perspective. God needs to work on us. And then prayer, He can do that. He can change the things about us that need changing. And then sometimes God does change the circumstances. Amen. Many times He can change impossible things. We preached about it Sunday morning. Esau was coming with 400 men. Amen. And Jacob had a prayer meeting. Last time he saw his brother said, "I'm going to kill you." Amen. And here he comes with 400 men. He stuck out there with a few servants and his wives and his little boys. And he don't know what else to do. So he goes across the brook Jabbok and he begins to pray. And I mean to tell you, friend, it was a sincere prayer. And it turned into a wrestling match. And he wrestled all night long. Amen. And after he touched his thigh and was at a joint, he couldn't do much wrestling. About that time, all he could do was hang on. Hallelujah. Sometimes that's all you got to do, just hang on. Just latch on to the Lord and say, "You're not going until you bless me. I got to have an answer before this night is over." And you hold on until the answer comes. Amen. But God changed Esau's heart. Praise God. I told you one time, I was in a similar situation. I was working a job, and I'd had all I could stand. I was about ready to let somebody have it. Amen. I'd heard worm, all I wanted to hear, worm. Amen. You worm, can't you do anything right? Worm, go get this worm, go do that worm. And I thought, if you call me worm one more time, amen. And I didn't know it, but my dear little old mama had a burden, and she was praying. And she didn't know anything about the worm business. I didn't tell anybody. But you know what? The whole atmosphere changed on that job from that point on. They never called me worm again, even when I deserved it. Amen. They never did. It just, the whole situation changed. The atmosphere changed. God's able to do that, folks. God can change relationships. God can change people. God can change circumstances. God can change situations. That's the power of a prevailing prayer. Amen. Praise God. That's the power of a prevailing prayer. God can save a nation through prayer. Yes, He can. God can send a revival through prayer. God can change a church through prayer. God can change individuals through prayer. God can save loved ones through prayer. God can do anything through prayer. Amen. Are we willing to pray? Are we willing to pray? Amen. Somebody said, until you've prayed, you haven't done what you need to do. Now, you can do a lot of things after you pray. But until you pray, you haven't done what you need to do. Bible says, first of all, prayer and supplications. That's the first thing we got to do, is pray. And from there, things begin to happen. Let's stand together. Amen. Things begin to happen. Hallelujah. Amen. There was a poor woman that prayed for some groceries. She was broke and didn't have any money to buy anything. So she was praying for food. And she went down past the grocery store, and the groceryman called her in. He knew she was a Christian, and he said, "Have you got those groceries yet?" And she said, "No, not yet." He said, "But let me show you something." He went over to the scales, and on one side he put the groceries, and then he said, "Over here is prayer." And you know what? Those scales just evened up. Amen. He was thinking prayer wasn't anything, but he found out prayer was something. And so he said, "You just take them. You just take them." Praise God. Prayer works, doesn't it? Hallelujah. Prayer works. Little boy was praying for snow. It didn't snow where he lived, hardly ever. But he prayed. He wanted to see the snow. And his dad said, "Son, God's not going to answer that prayer. It's not going to snow here." You know what happened? The next morning when the little boy looked out the window, the snow was coming down. And his dad walked in the room just in time to hear him say, "Atta boy, Jesus, you show him." That's what we need to hear more often. You show him, Jesus. You show him. Amen. Praise God. Prayer works. Prayer works if we pray. Amen. Thank you for praying. Thank you for your fasting. Amen. We need to get your name on the prayer list. Get your name on the fasting list. Amen. I feel a wonderful atmosphere here. It's been going all the whole new year. Every service has been blessed of the Lord. Amen. Some things are changing, folks. Praise God. I've had phone calls this week from people that we hadn't heard from in a long time. Amen. And because there's something going on. There's a moving and there's a stirring. And it's because we're praying. And it's because we're believing God. And things are beginning to happen. Praise the Lord. And great things are going to happen. Amen. Let me tell you something. Don't you doubt anything. Don't you doubt anything. If you've been praying for somebody for a long time, you just intensify. And whenever you close your eyes, you see them in this church with their hands raised, worshiping the Lord. Amen. Don't doubt a thing. Don't doubt a thing. God is working. He's busy. Amen. He's going to do some great things. I was preaching for a pastor some time ago, and there was a man in that congregation. He was a great prayer warrior, and he was a great worshiper, and a great supporter of the church, and a great worker. Amen. You'd never know where he came from. The pastor was walking down the street one day with a young man from the church, and the Lord just spoke to the pastor's heart, and he said, "Pray for that man. I'm going to save him." And he told the young man, he said, "The Lord just spoke to me. He wants to save that man." And he said, he can't save him. That's my uncle. He's the meanest man in town." Well, the Lord didn't know that. He didn't know he couldn't save him. And he did. Praise the Lord. And he did. Hallelujah. Praise God. Some of the people that resist and fight this thing and curse this thing and hate this thing, God's going to get a hook in their jaw. Amen. My. Praise God. I believe what I'm saying tonight. I believe what I'm saying tonight. Amen. Brother Phil Schaefer was praying a prayer. He said, "God," he said, "when people pass by this road out here," he said, "you just get a hook in them when they go drive by." Amen. When they see the church sign, you just get a hook in them when they go by. Amen. Now, you know, Brother Phil Schaefer, he's a big man. But one day there was a man bigger than Brother Schaefer walked in the door. That was a big, big man. Amen. And he came and he got down the altar and he started crying and weeping, repented of his sins and got the Holy Ghost and was baptized. And after he got the Holy Ghost, he told Brother Schaefer, he said, I was driving by this church and he said, it was like I just got a hook in my jaw. Hallelujah. Amen. I couldn't get away from it. I couldn't get rid of it. It got a hold of me and I had to come.
Right.
Amen. Folks, amen. That's what faith will do. That's what faith will do. Trust God. Believe God. Pray. Amen. He's going to do some great things. I think it'd be good to close this service with prayer. I think it'd be good to gather around the front of this building, get our hands up in the air, lift up our voices, and let's just begin to thank God for some answers. Let's just begin to thank the Lord for some prayers answered. We've been praying. God is working. And we're going to see some answers around here.
Now
hallelujah.
Yes,
you're going to see some familiar faces coming home. And you're going to see some brand new people that you've never seen in your life.
Lord,
amen.
Yes,
hallelujah. Oh, I thank you tonight, Jesus. God, I believe you. I believe you. Hallelujah. Oh, you're serious about revival. You're serious about salvation. God, we've been praying. We're trying to prepare ourselves. We're trying to get our spirits right. We're trying to get our heart right. We're trying, God, to get our attitude right. Amen. We're trying to get to where we care about Him. Lord, help us tonight. Amen. We want to be prepared for a revival that you want to send us.
Your spirit speaks to me.
So we come tonight to pray. We come tonight to lift up our voices. We come, God, to lift up our needs in this house and in this place. Meet every need of every person tonight.
Lord, yes.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.